Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez, and today we are going to talk about five ways attorneys can optimize their relationship with marketing departments. Our host today is Mike Meller. Mike is the firm-wide director of marketing and business development for Prior Cashman, a 175 attorney mid-sized firm with offices in both New York City and Los Angeles. And in his role, Mike works to identify, develop, and execute strategies to both drive new business for the firm and increase brand awareness. Mike's nearly 20-year career has spanned various marketing and business development roles throughout the professional service sectors, including BD and pursuit roles at Paul Weiss, Caton, and KPMG. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. So I'm a former KPMGer. I didn't know that you had been at KPMG. How did you enjoy that?
Yeah, Big Four was fantastic education platform. It's really they understand really the matrix and how that works from industries and sectors. Yep. and with the audit tax advisory overlay. So it was a great foundation for my delving into the deep end of law firm marketing.
I love it. So actually, before we get started, what do you think is the biggest difference between marketing at a Big Four firm versus marketing at a law firm?
I'd put that in two different camps. I think first of all is while you have partners within the Big Four, I think that there's perhaps more of a traditional pyramid structure. Whoever is driving the M&A advisory work over at Deloitte or EY or wherever, they're really kind of driving the ship. And I think you have a much more flat structure. I think that has its benefits and certainly has its drawbacks in terms of trying to get things done and across. The second thing is really about marketing resources.
Sure.
I think that with microsites embedded, you're seeing some of that happening now, I think, in the market with all the merger activity. And, you're seeing the Dentons of the world and the Bakers. And, they're investing a lot into the internal comm structure and just building out an infrastructure that can rival that. So
great.
It's fun to, come over here and try to build stuff from the ground up, which previously didn't exist. So it's an exciting time to be in legal marketing.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, you've been in this nearly 20 years or so. I if you ask me, I think one of the biggest differences that used to be between the Big Four and the law firm marketing world is that the Big Four really looked at their business as a business as opposed to a partnership. And because of that, their marketing methods were, pretty much more sophisticated than law firms were. But I think that has changed significantly over the last 5 years or so. And there's been a big push for legal marketing these days. Tell us a little bit about that. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I think you've got a sort of a combination of things happening. I think that there is a bigger respect towards marketing as a art science, just general endeavor. I hate the word non-attorneys, but I think people are really seeing the value of marketing kind of in many cases leading the way and really kind of what that entails around client experience and client life cycles and understanding a lot of that. I think that really stems from historically, risk aversion, I think, and lack of laterals are kind of two things I'd point to. First of all, I think that firms used to have institutional clients. I think things were done with handshakes. I think you start with a couple of folks moving over to a different firm. All of a sudden, they're pulling some pretty significant revenue over with them. I think that, starts to really kind of move the dynamics within the competitive landscape. I think you then have a couple of these forward-thinking firms who start hiring legal marketers and folks, really in the law firm world, for better or worse, love to see what everyone else is doing and want to keep up with the Joneses a little bit there. So you have, those types of things starting to continue to grow. You add in, merger activity and you start to really see folks doing a lot more strategic planning and not just kind of, doing their roles and seeing things come in. And it's a lot of shifting sands today. You're seeing a lot of the pioneering folks now using sales teams and client service and success managers and things like that, things more aligned with a traditional business. And so I think you'll continue to see that and continue to see an increased, magnifying glass on the marketing departments and their ROI they can bring.
So I totally agree with what you're saying. And I think as much as legal marketing has grown over the last, 4 or 5 years, you still see firms that are struggling with it. And primarily the struggle is around the attorneys and, their ability to adopt marketing or the ability to really understand how marketing is going to help them. Talk a little bit about that. What do you think is the biggest problem to marketing's adoption or success?
Yeah, it comes back to, risk aversion. It comes down to, not seeing ROI. And it's a chicken egg scenario there. Folks not seeing ROI because they're not investing in it, but you've got to kind of view everything within its own lens. It's like, we saw it was successful over here. Yeah, we're not them. We need to kind of get there before we do that, which is why I think pilot programs have been so successful. But, I don't think that's necessarily the marketer's fault or the attorney's fault. I think it's, first date sort of scenario. Sales was a swear word and marketing was a swear word. And so, folks are starting to see the value, but, I think in many cases, this isn't your mom's or dad's law firm. And so folks have historically been educated by their mentors and by senior partners. And, what worked then doesn't work now. And so you've got really sort of no precedent in this. And so folks are really, trying to figure out the best ways to work together. And I'm not necessarily sure whether there's a playbook on how attorneys can work most effectively with their marketing departments. And so I thought this was a great topic to explore around, just things that attorneys can really begin to understand and make sure that they're asking the right questions, sort of asking task-based things, but figuring out what success looks like for them and then, being able to sort of collaboratively work backwards. Because I think at the end of the day, it comes down to asking the right questions.
I completely agree with you. And, I love what you say. What worked then doesn't work now. I would also add, what works there will not necessarily work here, as you said. Every firm is different, different targets, different practices, different attorneys. So I agree with, testing and experimenting and piloting things to see what's going to work best for your firm. So let's go back. Let's dig a little deeper into the topic here. And you mentioned in your mind, there's 5 ways that attorneys can be more effective in marketing. Let's hear a little bit about that. What are the 5 ways?
Sure. And it is difficult. You talked about what works there, won't work here. And, we were, recently at LMA where I saw you and running a lot of these topics. I think everyone kind of understands what the end game and what success and utopia looks like, but you've got to view it within the lens of culture, which I think, kind of going back to our original idea is that culture is so important in law firms, I think more so than probably any other organization. And so trying to sort of jam round pegs and square holes, as they say, is a very difficult thing. But I thought there was, 5 key things that, attorneys can really do. And the first one is really being a champion around improving internal communications. I think that, you have client attorney privilege, obviously that is first and foremost, but to the extent attorneys can help to champion avenues of communication and always be thinking about, hey, this deal is about to close, or, hey, just keeping the marketing folks in the loop. And we've tried a number of different pilot programs here at Prior Cashman, whether that's, weekly roundups or, just other different avenues and, whether that's, specific different meetings or drive-bys, as we like to call them, just to really try to keep those lines of communication open. And I think that is really important and helps attorneys at the end of the day to avoid kind of those firm-wide emergency emails where we're saying, hey, what experience do we have in this particular sector? We can build those processes to aggregate that information in a central place. Everyone benefits. So that would certainly be the first one. I think that, it's difficult. Attorneys are by design sort of individuals and don't necessarily like process and being boxed in. But, to realize that we're not doing it for our own sadistic sake, but in fact to try to get things done more effectively. So
absolutely. What other things can they do to be more effective?
Yeah, I think that taking time to understand the resources that folks have here in their departments, you know, lots of times they may say, hey, you know, I need you to get a bio on me. I've got a pitch tomorrow with a client in the fashion sector. Not perhaps the most effective question or comment you could have. Call it the dump and run, where you're not really getting that information. You know, to sit down with your marketing departments and understand that, you know, not only do we have the ability to look into bios or look into pulling a taxi report on a particular organization and, you know, look at analyst reports and things like that, but to understand that, you know, in many cases, firms and departments have the ability to look historically down into who a particular company has used in the last 3 years, say in trademark litigation, how long those cases have taken, you know, just much more actionable information that I think can help really drive business forward as opposed to just kind of getting information. And so I always, you know, whenever I'm asked for a research report, I tend to ask the attorneys to come down and kind of sit behind the desk with me and understand the dynamic nature of a lot of this technology that we can really delve down and say, oh, wow, I didn't know you could do that. Okay, let's pull just the SDNY and let's now just pull, you know, cases that have gone to trial. And let's now just pull, and you can really start to delve in and understand firms, you know, culture, what their, you know, risk parameters and risk appetite are in regards to, you know, specific cases. Being able to take that knowledge and embed that into a pursuit is much more successful than just simply asking where somebody has historically worked or just kind of a standard bio. You know, I think that, you know, involving marketing early in the process is key. You know, I also think that folks need to understand that the sales cycle has changed. You know, we look at, you know, there's a recent Gartner study that said, you know, 56% of the sales cycle is now complete before a meaningful contact is made in a B2B sale. And so, you know, what does that mean for attorneys? Well, you know, they may say, hey, whatever, it's just my bio. I don't need to update it. Who's really looking at that? Do I really need a digital footprint? Gone are the days of, hey, let's take the top three firms in chambers. Let's bring them in and have a beauty contest. We'll talk and ask them about everything. You know, these days, GCs and other key legal decision makers are getting, you know, maybe five or six firms, getting five or six individuals or vetting those individuals, maybe narrowing it down to one or two people who they are finally contacting and bringing in. And I think that's an important distinction when you think about how important your digital footprint is. And if you're not out there, you're not on LinkedIn, you're not sharing things that are industry specific and adding a layer of value. If you're not writing and speaking and really being out there, and you've got a, you know, 7-sentence bio that has no publications, you know, someone's going to just think that you're simply not in the game. And so, you know, really working with your marketing department to understand best practices and understand what you can be doing to, you know, as Stephanie Marone likes to say, you know, write once, publish everywhere. And, you know, really take those ideas and amplify them out. People who do that are going to be the most successful.
So it sounds like a lot of what you're saying here, which I completely agree with, by the way, is attorneys really need to think about their marketing team and their biz dev team in a much more strategic way, rather than as a tactical way or a sales support role. What you're basically saying is think of us as, you know, part of your strategy. Help us understand what you need and involve us early on so that we can deliver really good strategy for you to accomplish what it is that you need to do. Is that where you're going?
I think you nailed it, Guy. You know, when I talk about when people want to kind of figure out, you know, what they want to be when they grow up, as I like to say, I always tell them to look backwards to look forwards. So, you know, when you're trying to figure out an industry, you know, you may want to focus on, say, you have perhaps a wider swath of industries you've historically worked with. You know, what has your experience really yielded? And so, you know, you can kind of look backwards to look forward. And much like to that, I tell, you know, legal departments or, you know, our lawyers to look inside to look outside. There's a lot of ways that, you know, we can identify that's correlation studies and saying, hey, you know what, historically, 70% of our fashion clients are using these two products together or these two practices together. And being able to understand what it's like out there. You know, you may be pitching simply immigration, but if you look back, you look at our fashion clients, you know, a lot of the folks who came in originally through immigration, you know, now we do all the licensing work for, a lot of joint ventures and strategic alliances with licensing, corporate work. And so being able to understand what that picture looks like and what the needs are of those clients, instead of just kind of going out and answering. And, you know, obviously you want to ask the right questions and you want to give the clients just what they're asking for. But to understand what that looks like within the wider picture is really important. And so you've got to ask those right questions before you get to that first pitch, you know, to really understand those industries. And, you know, we sit at a really unique part of the world, you know, being the hub of information and having access, you know, right next door to my finance people. And understanding how to break that data down. And so I think that it shouldn't be viewed as sort of a necessary pit stop for a brochure on your way out the door, but rather a, hey, you know what? I've got this thing coming up next week. What should I be thinking about in order to, you know, help push this client across the finish line?
I love it. I love it. So what are some other tools that law firms can use to be more effective in their marketing? What are some of the things that you guys are using or other firms are using that I think are really beneficial when it comes to the new marketing, the legal marketing 2.0, as I call it?
You know, I think that gone are the days of siloed technology. You know, we've got sort of historically CRMs, which attorneys may or may not have wanted to use. And in many cases, they're glorified mailing lists. You have, you know, your billing and financial data. You have your, you know, your mailing, your futures, your concepts. You have sort of the, you know, social media platforms. Smart folks are investing in the technology that's helping. You have your relationship scorings and your GLABITs and things like that. Well, now INTAPs. And having to be able to go and parse that information into something that gives you a complete picture is really time consuming. And, you know, while they're investing in marketing, I don't think the law firms are ever known for having a plethora of resources in the world. So those people who can invest in the technology and spend the time acting on that information as opposed to kind of gathering it and pulling it all together are the ones that are going to be most successful. So, you know, what we're trying to do is automate a lot of that, take a lot of that, not only off the attorney's plates, but off our plates to be able to understand who's talking to who specifically within, you know, our client teams, you know, and our clients, and succession planning, looking at things like that based off relationship scores, which can be used via email and, you know, phone logs to some extent. Folks can really dial that up in a number of different ways. You know, being able to aggregate and add on top of that, you know, who's really engaging with your content from a social perspective, from folks who are opening client alerts. You know, what are they then doing with those alerts? Are they forwarding them? Are they perhaps going onto the site and looking at that attorney's bio? What are they then doing from there? Being able to build all that back into, you know, a HubSpot and being able to perhaps then assign point values to that and think about different ways to, you know, overlay some automation with, you know, the Marketos and, you know, start to put things, skate to where the, you know, the puck's going to be and using a lot of that intelligence to understand life cycles better and put content out ahead of time to what anticipated, you know, next triggers are going to be. The folks that are taking that information and putting it into a single version of the truth and being able to then execute and lay out content, whether that's evergreen or and whether that's frequently updated in the right places at the right time, are going to be the firms that are most successful.
Yeah, I hear you, brother.
So you guys are doing good things over there.
Thank you. So where do you see the market going from here? What do you see in the next couple of years?
Yeah, you know, I'm interested to see, you know, the folks like DLA and Womble who are, you know, really putting business sales professionals and client-facing business professionals out in front of the market. That's where I think the world is moving. You know, I look at the law firm industry and I see this as probably the most unique industry in that you have the lawyers who are going out, targeting the folks, identifying who they are, doing introductions, kind of getting warm leads, then actually selling and closing the deal, then doing the work, then doing the billing, then doing the collecting. And it's kind of insanity when you really break it down into that many pieces. Look at other folks who are bringing warm leads into the product experts, quote unquote, and have professional financial folks in the back or automated processes in the back that are doing the billing and collecting and helping to streamline that process. And so certainly the folks who can help to narrow that sphere for attorneys, to let them focus on what they do best, obviously see increases in realization, increased hours, you know, less administrative stress, and just overall increased efficiency because you're putting experts in the right spots and letting them do what they do best. And so the folks who kind of realize that and are able to let go of the entire client process, I think are going to be the firms that are most successful. And so it'll be really interesting to see those folks who are investing in that front end and the folks who are investing in the back end to see how all that stuff comes to bear and whether the market will follow that or culturally how that's going to fit. And, you know, it comes back to what you and I said earlier around the importance of culture, even within, you know, my own firm. You know, have certain attorneys I'm going out there at client facing meetings and helping to you know, push things across the finish line, and other folks who are very reticent about doing that. And so it's, you know, indicative of the overall environment.
I hear you. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. I anticipate in the next couple of years, really, we're going to see some firms really taking off and those that get it and competing with some of the early entrants into the space and the big four. I think it's just a matter of time, obviously, and it's already happening in Europe and in Asia. This has been great. Thank you so much for your time. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. I'd love to have you back in the show in the future and we can continue this conversation. But before you go, what would be one actionable takeaway that you can give to our audience? Some words of advice or something that they should learn from the work that you've done and some of the things you've learned?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about face-to-face time with attorneys. Whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a marketing person, getting in on the same page a little more. You know, for us, I find that the drive-bys are actually more effective than the meetings I set up. But going in there and just explaining what you do and the why behind it and getting that communication line open. And I think that the more I'm out, you know, kind of wandering the halls, you know, the more communication is open and the more informed and effective my decisions are. And on the other side, from the attorney's perspective, the more they understand what our capabilities truly are, the better questions they ask. So both sides can ask the right questions.
I love it. Well, I'm going to dub you the king of the drive-by.
There you go.
All right.
187.
I love it. All right. Well, Mike, thank you so much for spending some time with us. For those of you that enjoyed this show and you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, you can go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there and you can also check out some of our great past episodes. And for those of you that want to get in touch with Mike or have additional questions, we will be publishing his Twitter handle, his email, and his LinkedIn profile on the show notes. Mike, thanks again. And everyone, thank you for your time, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.